You're listening to episode 103 of the Play Therapy Community Podcast.
Welcome to Play Therapy Community Podcast, providing connection, information, and inspiration to child therapists all around the world. Here's your host, a licensed psychotherapist, a registered play therapist, and my mom, Jackie Flynn.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Play Therapy Community Podcast. Today's episode on the podcast is one that I'm super excited about. You know, I'm really good friends with Ann and Annie. We just recently did that Playful EMDR Summit in Cocoa Beach, which was amazing. And today we have the honor of chatting with Fran Waters and Mark Nickerson. This is so important. I even put on lipstick. If you look at my other episodes, oh, I'm in lipstick on. So I'm really looking forward to learning from these folks about dissociation with kids. It's something that seems very complex and overwhelming, and it shows up in our clinical practices sometimes and we don't even recognize it. So I think education is super important. And if we're trauma therapists, I think it's really ethical to be trained in working in the scope of our practice. But before we get started, let me just introduce you to who's on the podcast today. Let's start with you, Annie, if you could just introduce yourself, tell people who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Annie Monaco, and I follow Jackie Flynn. That's who I am. I am in Buffalo, New York, and I work with very dissociative children, children and teens, and that's been my specialty for a long time. And so I am just grateful to, you know, train with Fran and Ann during this training and really teach people over a three-day period about dissociation and how to treat it.
No, Annie, I just recently took one of your trainings with Nicole. It's one of the best trainings I ever had on dissociation in teens. And you're so generous with your packets of information, your cognitions and everything.
Yes. And we'll be generous with this training too. We got some really fantastic handouts.
Oh, that's great. And case studies. Okay. All right. And Anne?
Hello, everybody. So Annie and I have a training hub called Playful EMDR, which is how we met Jackie. And I've been a longtime play therapist. And then Annie taught me EMDR. And I was a kind of a bad student who asked too many questions about how to do this with children, how to really do trauma work with children. And especially kids who have that kind of that phobic avoidance of going back to the trauma and doing that work. And of course, that's all connected to, you know, nervous system response and dissociation and all that. So really, this is a training and this is a topic for everyone who sees kids. And a lot of times we have the most severely impacted kids are working with therapists. A lot of times when I was doing that work, I was fresh out of school. I was working an inpatient psych unit with kids from the inner streets of Chicago. Yeah. Let me tell you, we did not know anything about dissociation. And now when I look back, I just think how much that knowledge would have helped me to help those kids. So,
oh yes, gosh, that like makes my heart feel heavy. I can literally imagine you in Annie's basic training, sitting up front, asking questions. She probably goes home, tell her husband, there's this girl named Ann in my training.
It's got me crazy.
You know, I know. I survived it.
they say
that was like 12 years ago or something like that, to 13 years ago.
12 years. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting trivia. I'll start. I was thinking about like in some of my consultation groups starting off with a playful trivia fact. That'd be one of them.
I was trained in 1997. There's a trivia. So
must have been like a baby.
Well, ask Mark when you get to Mark, ask him when he was trained. I
bet he was okay, Fran.
Wow, we are really dating ourselves. I've been specializing in trauma and dissociation, and my first case was actually in 1985. And so I've been at this a long time. And this was a little girl that came into my office after I'd been seeing her for a year and a half, horrible case of multiple horrendous forms of child abuse and neglect. And she was in a wonderful adoptive home. So she'd been in my office, you know, twice a week, for a good year and a half. And she came in and said, oh, what's this? What's this? Oh, what's going on here? What? Who's this? And it's like, who am I dealing with? And fortuitously, just before then, there was a wonderful psychiatrist in the mental health clinic where I worked. They gave a brief in-service on childhood dissociation because she went to one of the first conferences on dissociation. Mm-hmm. And I then said, oh, do you hear voices in your head? Yes. And that was the beginning of my panic and my career of how to figure out what childhood dissociation is. And since then, it's been a long-term passion of mine, and I'm just delighted to be presenting with Annie and Anne. It's just, and Mark, thank you so much for having me join this wonderful team. I'm really excited about the workshop.
Yeah. Yes, you have a workshop coming up. I think about way back in 1985, even today, when we're experiencing dissociation, seeing in our clients, it feels scary. I can imagine when there wasn't any training, and you're like a pioneer in this work. Wow, what an honor it is to learn from you.
Well, I'm still learning, and every child is a wonderful, amazing child that then teaches me about how to improve my skills and to pass on to other clinicians and to help other children. So it's a lifelong learning process because it is very complex, but it is quite doable, and these children do get better, which is really exciting to see.
Hope where there previously wasn't any. Right. I love the thought of you kind of recognizing yourself, like even you, Fran Waters, seeing yourself as a forever student and having the kids be your teachers. Wow.
Yes.
Jackie, can I add? So, you know, when I was learning about dissociation, there was all these adult, you know, trainers, right? And so I kept going to their trainings and I'm like, but nobody taught. They all said, well, we don't work with kids, right? And so in my pursuit of trying to find someone, it was Fran's book that I found that really started my journey of piecing together the adult treatment and then children and teen treatment. And so, you know, her book to me is really what I follow, and I've read it three times. She probably doesn't know that, but I've read it three times, and really it helped me understand what I was seeing in the playroom.
And you're talking about Healing the Fractured Child?
Yeah. That's the book, definitely.
So if those of you watching, the link below to this book, and Mark, I'll wait to hear about Mark's book too. I'm so excited. And Annie's book will be linked below this video. Well, thank you, Fran. I'm excited about our conversation. And Mark Nickerson.
Hello. Well, I'm happy to be part of sponsoring this training. I will say, Annie, that I was trained after you. But I've been involved in EMDR in many ways. I'm a trainer myself. But one of the things that I most enjoy doing is sponsoring excellent workshops. And a few years ago, I reached out to Annie and Anne, having seen them present at other at EMDRIA, for instance, and invited them. And I've hosted a couple of their workshops, and they are dynamic and fun and interesting. And even though we get into gritty subjects that they deal with every day, it is always a good learning environment. So in reaching out to them for something new this year, they said they were very excited to have Fran now willing to collaborate on this workshop. And this is an extensive workshop. This is a 3-day workshop. But one of the things I'm pleased with is that it's going to be a good learning environment. In other words, there's going to be people attending this live in Buffalo that will make for a lively crowd. We've got a videographer, there's going to be two cameras taking this in. So there'll be it will feel dynamic compared to some of the things that we've had for learning opportunities since COVID in particular. And people can, if they can't make it to Buffalo, this is accessible virtually. Yes. So people can sign up for it and either live stream it or watch it up to 90 days after the training. So this is going to be a thick workshop in terms of lots of content, and people will actually have 90 days to to rewatch it or watch it in pieces if they're if they choose. So it's going to create a great learning environment on an important topic.
So that's at, that's so exciting. That's at advanced, EMDR advancedtrainings.com.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited. Okay. So we're going to get into the specifics of the workshop, but I would like to just kind of identify what is dissociation? What does it look like in kids? And if we notice it, if we're aware of it in our sessions, what do we do? I know that's probably a big training that you have.
It's taking us 3 days to answer that question, Jackie. How long do we have?
Imagine we're on an elevator and the elevator stops with you.
That's my favorite thing to do in play therapy trainings is I say, okay, you're in an elevator with a billionaire. You've got 10 floors to defend play therapy. So. You know, it's interesting because I think when I was trained, you know, in as a social worker and, you know, first started working with children, they would say things like, oh, you'll see this twice in your career. Mm. You know, it's a very rare situation. And, you know, now looking back on that, that's just such misinformation, right? Because, you know, it's a continuum of withdrawing awareness from the present moment for protection and safety.
Yeah.
And that can go from, you know, a everyday experience or, you know, of shock or, you know, and an accident or something, you find yourself kind of out of your body a little bit, you know, for protection. It's a reflex. But then obviously, if kids are under threat, you know, repeatedly over a long period of time, it becomes a kind of way of life. So
we'll just give a big shout out to the autonomic nervous system for showing up in a way to keep us safe and survive.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a very instinctive, primitive response when there's no other way of escaping is through dissociation. You can't fight, you can't flee, you freeze, you collapse, and you then dissociate. And so it's a very adaptive way of escaping something so intolerable and so frightening that you cannot escape any other way.
Yes.
So it's really the last resort. It's a wonderful escape trap, but sometimes that escape trap becomes also a hindrance toward dealing with everyday life, which is what we three will be talking about, how to erode dissociation in a safe way to help children become present and aware of what's happening and enjoy life to its fullest.
It sounds like... when I think about like the title of your book, Healing the Fractured Child, it truly does sound like healing, like getting their life back and being able to have a higher quality of life afterwards.
Yes, it's like putting the pieces together of the self that had to separate from the horrendous experiences.
Yeah. You know, friend, one thing that crosses my mind is that I think a lot of us, especially EMDR therapists, trauma therapists, we've probably witnessed dissociation, not even known what we were looking at, like not even realized it. Like you had the scenario back to where like, what is this? And we might have even thought, oh, that's odd. They don't remember. Well, how would, like for someone that's just now hearing of dissociation, what would it look like in kids? What would you hear from like a parent consultation or witness in person that would be like, ooh, maybe I need to do a DES or something that would help to really tweak my treatment plan to help this kid?
Well, Annie, do you want to comment on that?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here thinking the you know, I had learned about symptoms and what kids look like, and I had gotten that down pat. And, you know, so what does it look like? My student told me that she has a new client, and, you know, the first two supervisions, she said, oh, Annie, you know, he sits down, he does art activity, he takes direction, he's cooperative, he's nice. And then I just spoke to her yesterday and I said, how's things going with this client? And she said, Yeah, you know, he came in and he touched me in my private parts, like just out of the blue touched her, comes in, he just knocks things off the table. He runs around the room, picks things up, puts them down, stole her phone. And I said, wow, what a difference. And I said, what do you think this is? You know, wondering, she's been to some of my trainings. And she's like, I don't know. I guess he's showing his true colors. I said, oh no, he's showing his dissociation, right? He's, you know, he's basically having you witness potentially some things that he's gone through, right? Because he's touching her in private places and he's a kid who would know better. And so it's sometimes this shift in the kids we work with. And that's what I always say to therapists. It's you feel like you're working with two different kids or three different kids. And you know, my first case, you know, Fran tells her story. So my first case, I had a week prior had walked out of a dissociation training and I said, I'll never work with dissociation. I'm going to refer out. Fran's laughing. And then, a week later I get my client and, you know, I do actually tell her story in this 3-day training. And I, you know, same kind of thing. The father brings her and says, it's like I have three different children. Mm-hmm. The school describes her as the most perfect child. And he goes, every day she comes home after school and literally cries for 3 hours. She had been removed from the mother and placed with him. And he goes, and then there's this other part that's been trying to, she's been trying to poison my stepmom. And, you know, and it's three different kids. And so he left the room and I looked at her. I said, do you ever feel like you have different people inside? And she goes, oh, yeah, I have three of us. She told me their name. She goes, I can tell you their names, their age, and what happened to us that formed them. And I'll never forget she used that word formed. And she was 10. And I was looking at her. So I put a big piece of paper up. I drew a circle and I said, can you tell me all the three parts of you? And I still have that paper to this day, right? Of the three ages. And she's like, you know, Violet goes to school. She's older and she just wants a better life. And she wishes the younger part of me would stop crying every night. Right. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, it's really this just shift in kids. They just change whether in front of us or parents talk about really great moments or really struggling moments. But I did want to say to that is that Fran's book helped me learn how to deal with these hostile, aggressive, destructive, suicidal perpetrator parts. And that's why I kept reading the book over and over going, okay, well, what do I do with them now? Right. I mean, or her or him. Right. Go ahead, Mark. You were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say in listening and watching the three of you put this together, one of the things I've appreciated is that I think sometimes people are more likely to spot dissociation with the person who's checked out. But what you've really been picking up on is that people that are acting out have dissociative processes often going on. And when people are acting out, everybody around them is so busy trying to contain it, manage it, and protect against it, and that what's missed is really what's going on underneath it. So yeah. I'm excited about how this workshop will speak to clinicians who are trying to manage these acting out kids and to do it with an dissociation informed approach.
Yeah, definitely.
Mark, as you say that, I'm thinking about like it changes the way that we show up, like as humans, not even just clinicians. Like if we didn't know, we may think, oh, that child's just being bad. They're just trying to misbehave and we need to stop that behavior when really the inappropriate touching that may be seen as like, oh, they're doing something bad, but really they're just sharing their experiences and what's underneath, like way underneath the behavior. And then if we target that and we work on that, that's where
they may be cut off from that altogether. It's some, like Annie suggested, may really know the different parts of themselves, but others may be just completely cut off from that.
Oh, so much to learn.
And also reducing the stigma, which actually prompts me to mention, I don't know if you saw this, Jackie, but somebody posted yesterday about this. There's an indie film, very short film that just was released called Petals of a Rose. And it's a a graduate student in film, made a movie about his mother, who's DID, kind of inspired by her, and it's a very respectful treatment of DID visually. It's quite, it was really beautiful, actually. I started like tearing up, so, because you just see there's so much stigma, and there's a lot of, that's kind of why I think people want to say, oh, this is rare, this doesn't really happen, instead of recognizing that probably most of our clients with persistent suicidal thoughts, that's really a child part that doesn't know what else to do. And when we approach that symptom that way with understanding and acceptance, instead of like panicky safety planning and behavioral stuff, we can really make a lot of progress with people very quickly. So anyway, I'll try to get you the link for that, Jackie, because it was so good. I want everyone to see it.
Absolutely. I think that's really what you're describing, is that shift from shame to let's really see what's happening with this person. Like, I think about like media has such a big influence back in the 80s, like when Fran was talking about when there wasn't any education. That's why we need this education.
Well, and Jackie, can I just say, so this training teaches therapists how to welcome the parts, invite them in, and not be afraid of them. Because therapists see this, they send kids to the hospital, they say, I can't work with them, I'm not qualified. We teach you, you know, I have a DID teenager who comes in, he calls me Dr. Annie. Dr. Annie, are all my parts welcome? And I go, all your parts are welcome. Bring them all in. Right. And he has some very serious perpetrator parts. Right. And so we teach therapists. That's what we're going to teach you, how to invite them in, how to get them to be co-therapists, how to work with us.
Oh, yeah. I know in EMDR therapy, one of the big positive cognitions is I'm okay just as I am. Seems like that's the pathway to that.
Yes, accepting all parts of the self is very important. And one of the challenges is that oftentimes these children don't know very much or at all about their parts. And there's a lot of amnesia. But these children are really more flexible and more treatable than adults if we begin to understand about their dissociation. And if we begin to ask the right kind of questions, they connect with those other parts of themselves much more rapidly. And there's a tremendous amount of relief when they do, because then there's a solution to what they can do about it, and they can work together as a team. So it's a really important emphasis that I'd like to make, to identify these individuals when they're children. And the earlier we identify them, the more likely they are going to be able to erode their amnesia, to cooperate with one another, to not zoom out when they're under stress, and to recover and go on functioning as healthy adults.
I love it. I love the way you describe it too. It doesn't sound real complex, and it's so understandable. And it sounds beautiful. It sounds like when someone heals from shame, they show up in a very different way, rather than hiding away and staying stuck.
That's right. And we adults have a lot to offer them in acceptance, and to begin to help them feel good about themselves, feel that they can heal and there's going to be a life for them in the future. And we will be providing amazing techniques from a lot of cases that we've all treated to help them in that treatment trajectory. And it's treatable, and it's not so scary once you start working with these kids and have a little bit of knowledge and gain more knowledge on how to treat them successfully.
Well, it turns out it's a lot of the skills we already have, you know. So, you know, my piece in this, I'm kind of eyes wide open listening to Franny and Anne when they talk about dissociation, but is to really talk about the play therapy strategies that we already know, we already have. And just once we can sort of see, put on the glasses where we see the child and understand the parts that are hidden, as well as the ones that are, you know, the most functional parts, that we can use the same techniques we've always used to connect art and, you know, drama, play therapy, you know, creativity, that's the outlet where we can meet all of us.
Safety.
Yeah, from my point of view, Jackie, you mentioned, I think, the positive belief I am okay as I am, but who am I is the question. And I think as the play brings out who a person is, and as the therapist sees that person as they are and welcomes all parts of them, then there's a richer experience of knowing who they are and then truly being okay with who they are.
That's such a good point. Like, I'm okay just as I am. If you don't know who you are, then that has limited, if any, meaning at all. Mark, I don't think we mentioned your work in detail. Could you mention your book on cultural competence? I mean, you've done some fascinating work that we can access that's been available for years on cultural.
Excuse me, clearing my throat here. The book is called Cultural Competence and Healing Culturally Based Trauma. Within EMDR therapy. And although it really generally speaks to culturally informed trauma-related therapy in general, first edition was finished in 2017, but the second edition just came out this year. And it speaks to two things, to oversimplify it. One is just adapting therapeutic measures with a cultural awareness to the individual so that they can engage with whatever the therapeutic intention is. And the other is about addressing culturally based trauma itself. So many people grow up in families that are excluded, marginalized, and in other ways get cultural messages that interfere with, to tie it into this theme, with a person being able to be who they are. And so a cultural identity that can come in many forms, from gender to ethnicity and race, and where one is from. All of those things are part of how a person learns himself to be. And when those parts are mistreated, then that has an impact on a person. So related to this, I was just had an exchange with Annie about teen culture. And so many times teenagers are, their number one thing is to belong to a group. And belonging to a group can become tantamount and put themselves at great risk. And so being able to understand that core need, but also look at maladaptive ways in which teenagers may get caught in acting out or risk-taking is important.
So good, Mark. That makes me think about, like, you know how you, I don't know if y'all experience this, you have like themes in your consultations. A lot of themes I'm having now is intergenerational trauma, like Aboriginal, and like even like stuff that's been passed down for generations. So, I can't wait to get your book. And I do want to say, for those listening, people say that sometimes they listen like in the hot tub. Somebody told me they listen by the kayak. And so the links are below, but we want to say it verbally in case you're in a place where you don't have anything to write it down. The site where you can get this training, as well as other trainings that Mark has, emdradvancedtrainings.com. And then your book will be linked below, and then Fran's as well, and Ann and Annie's. Now, we're almost out of time, but I want to see, is there anything else that you'd like to share that's important for people to know before we hop off?
This is for all therapists. So you don't have to be trained in any special modality. So, because sometimes people think it's just for EMDR, there will be some EMDR components, but it's for anybody, any therapist who really wants to understand dissociation with teens and children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a really important. So those who are EMDR trained, there will be links and ways in which people will learn how to tie this into the different phases of EMDR. But it's, as Annie says, it's core information for all trauma-informed therapists.
Okay.
People could still come to Buffalo in person. Don't be afraid of Buffalo in March, you know.
And we're having if they come in person, we're going to have a gathering at my house with Fran on Saturday. So people should really come.
It's a great training environment, too. It's a beautiful room and all set up for training, so.
Okay.
So it's in person, live stream, and on demand for 90 days.
Okay.
Live stream. Yeah.
And one quick thing too, I think is important to even, if you don't know what EMDR is, it stands for eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing. If you want to know more about that, just go to emdria.org. And if you're not trained in it and you would like to be trained in it and you work with kids, definitely go to playfulemdr.com. They have basic training and advanced trainings there. And then you can find lots of advanced trainings at emdradvancedtrainings.com. And if you want to go to my site, you can go to playtherapycommunity.com. Well, thank you, Ann, Annie, Fran, and Mark. Yeah. Your name is the only one that doesn't rhyme out of everyone, Mark. Come on, Mark. We're going to have to rename you.
Dan. Dan.
Man or Mimi. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gail.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.